As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Welcome to Oak Church, everyone. My name is Josh. I'm going to give you a quick background on myself in case we haven't had the chance to meet. The first thing is that I'm an assistant Little League coach. That's important because I report to head coach as well as Oak Church pastor Chris Breslin. So any trust he has in me today to deliver this message was forged on the baseball diamond, where I give impassioned speeches to 9, 10, and 11-year-olds. I'm also a member of Oak Athletics' wiffle ball team. Why is that important? I'll tell you why that's important. We focus on two things at Oak Athletics. We focus on spreading the light of the Lord to competitors and teammates and even umpires. The second objective is to win. We're not so good at the second objective, but on Friday night, we secured the second objective. And the final thing I'll tell you about myself is that I have worked in product strategy and marketing in AI for the past 6 years. And so today we're going to be talking about bodying forth. It's a continuation of our series. We're going to talk about what it means to be with the distracted. Here's what this sermon isn't going to be. It's not an anti-tech rant. Tech can be a force for good. Plenty of us make our livings in technology, myself included, and there are really wonderful ways in which tech can make our lives better. What the sermon is instead is an inquiry into our default relationship with technology and how we can choose a better path towards human flourishing. Here's the roadmap. We're going to answer four questions together. What is attention? How does technology use attention? Where do we allocate our attention? And how can we be with the distracted? So what is attention? Attention is worship. It's indicative of what we value. It's formation. Where our attention goes, so our mind, body, and spirit will go. It's love. It's a symbol of what we desire. When we're focused, we allocate this valuable resource wisely. When we're distracted, we place this valuable resource all over the place. Depth is found in focus. The richness and fullness and beauty of life is found in focus. And yet, as we learn from today's scripture, distraction happens. Martha is distracted. Mary is focused. Martha is busy. Mary is present. Martha is overwhelmed. Mary is calm. Martha is anxious. Mary's unhurried. Martha cannot believe how much there is to do. Mary focuses on the one thing to do, be with Christ. But Martha is serving. Can't you see? She's serving. It's such a noble thing to do. But Mary is paying her full attention to learning the way of Jesus. And there's nothing more important than that. Attention is valuable indeed. So how do our modern day tools use our attention? Well, our default relationship with technology is distraction. We've got a habit of separating ourselves from God, and it's no different here with technology. We're going to take a look at two specific technologies today. We're going to touch on social media, then we're going to talk about the emergence of artificial intelligence. Let's start with social media. There's a man by the name of Tristan Harris. He was a product manager at Google. In 2012, before the rise of TikTok, Instagram and Facebook were just starting to take off and really catch their stride. He published an internal slide deck called A Call to Minimize Distraction and Respect Users' Attention. He outlined what intermittent variable rewards are. It's the same thing that you use at a slot machine in the casino. When you swipe down on the lever, you don't know the outcome that you're going to get, and that's what keeps you coming back. You're not sure if it's going to be a positive outcome. You're not sure if it's going to be a negative outcome. It's the same exact thing when you swipe down on a social media feed or your notification page. You're not sure if you're going to see a like or a comment or something from your friends. And so you keep swiping, because you're just not sure what you're going to get next. This leads to bad forecasting. We reach for our pockets. We open up the phone. We're just going to look at that one notification. It's just going to take a second. 20 minutes go by. Leads to fast thinking. This is what Cal Newport, who is a computer science professor at Georgetown, he authored the book Deep Work. He wants us to go deep. He wants us to slow things down. Social media speeds us up. And so while we cover a lot of ground, our recall is minimized. We can't actually achieve depth. We're not actually learning. There's a fear of missing out. You can't put it down. You got to see what folks are up to. It's also called loss aversion. There's even physiological changes, stress, increased heart rate, and shallow breathing. Now, Warren Buffett's business partner, a man by the name of Charlie Munger, who just recently passed away a couple years ago, he said, if you show me the incentive, I'll show you the outcome. If you show me the incentive, I'll show you the outcome. So here's the incentive with social media for the companies themselves. Consumption of human attention is profitable because if you keep scrolling, advertisers will put their content in front of you, and the platform will make more money. And so the outcome is that social media is not designed for human flourishing. It's designed to capture your attention and consume as much of it as possible. So social media consumes attention. And again, Tristan Harris, he had this hypothesis 12 years ago. And I think now, when you look at things like short-form video content, Instagram Reels, TikTok, you can see how these things have evolved and play out. But now we've got a new technology on the way. How does AI outsource our attention? In 2017, there was a paper called Attention is All You Need. Everything that you see with the emergence of AI the past 8 years comes back to this paper. This paper announced a new way in which AI can focus. And by that I mean it takes large data sets and it figures out what the most important piece of data is for a given prompt. This was really important because now researchers were able to uncover through a process called deep learning that we could scale AI and that it could be more accurate than ever before. So starting in 2017, that's kind of the inflection point to where we are today, to what makes large language models like ChatGPT possible. So AI got better at focusing just as humans got worse at focusing through social media. There's an MIT study that was recently produced. It was released in June. It's called Your Brain on ChatGPT. There were three groups. The first group wrote a paper using ChatGPT. The second group wrote a paper using Google. The third group wrote a paper with no technology help at all. The first group that used ChatGPT, when there were brain images done, there was little to no neural connectivity between the neurons. Retention of information went down. With the search engine, it was middle of the road. Without tech, that's where the highest level of connectivity between ideas was. So now, instead of consuming our attention, we're at risk of outsourcing it. This is an incredibly valuable thing. Remember, attention is worship, it's love, it's formation. And so if we outsource these things, we lose out on the ability to learn, to think critically. Going back to the paper, Attention is All You Need, that paper was named after the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. So it's not far-fetched to think about what would it look like for AI to replace companionship? What if you're interacting with ChatGPT as a friend, as a spiritual counselor, as a therapist? Attention is indeed love, and we're at risk of outsourcing it. The takeaway here is that AI can do immense good. It's not all grim. It can lead to incredible medical advances. It could help discover new drugs that can treat diseases that have previously been incurable. It could help us achieve personalized education so that people who have different learning styles can now think better and think more critically, but we have to be on guard because our default is that we're just going to outsource our critical thinking. So where do we allocate our attention? Here's my goal. I want to break down the full landscape of where our attention goes. And for some reason, I took a quote about a jet ski, and then I thought about ninth grade environmental science, and I came up with an image. And we'll get to the image in just a second, but here's the quote. This is from a 2010 book, so this is before the serious rise of social media. You can tell, by the way, Nicholas Carr, the author, talks about the internet. He calls it the net. What the net seems to be doing is chipping away my capacity for concentration and contemplation. Once I was a scuba diver in the sea of words. Now I zip along the surface like a guy on a jet ski. So somehow I took that quote and I thought back to the cycle of water in ninth grade environmental science. And I remembered how the mountains have snowpack, and then the snowpack melts and it goes down to the rivers. And then the water from the rivers, it makes its way down into the ocean. And then from the ocean, water evaporates, goes up into the clouds, and then it snows over the mountains, and the cycle continues. And so I call this the cycle of attention. Green pastures, a little bit of Psalm 23 inspiration there. It's where we find rest. The village is where we do our work, and the ocean of information is where there is consumption. And God is present in all three places. We work in a modern economy, most of us knowledge workers. We have to enter the ocean of information. For me to stand up here and say, ignore social media, ignore AI, would be a disservice to you all. AI is not going away, neither is social media. But I challenge us not just to be knowledge workers, but wisdom seekers. That's something that people knew, inherently they knew it. When we were previously an agricultural society, just because somebody perhaps wasn't a scholar, or just because they worked with their hands, didn't mean that they didn't seek wisdom out, and that's what we need. There's a gentleman by the name of Brennan McCord. He's based out of the Cosmos Institute. He's making this call right now for philosopher builders. He's making the case that as AI ramps up, engineering and technology is no longer the bottleneck. The bottleneck, the problem, what we're looking for are people who can steer AI responsibly. And you need to know more about philosophy, more about what I would argue would be theology, more about your relationship with Christ than you necessarily do for the technical aspects of AI in this era. So I challenge us to be wisdom seekers through the following practices. In green pastures, practice prayer and Sabbath, solitude and fasting. In the village, work and serve and be in community with one another. Work is a beautiful thing. It was in the garden before the fall. We can honor God, we can worship God in the village just as much as we can in the green pastures. And we can honor God in the ocean of information too, but we've got to be mindful. We've got to choose to be mindful. Scuba diving is kind of what I consider to be scripture or books or essays or art that moves you, documentaries, long-form films. The jet ski is like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and X. And I think about AI as sort of like the autonomous submersible vehicle. This is where we find ChatGPT and Gemini. And so now you're in a boat and you can deploy little submersible submarines, and then it comes back to you and it's like, here's what we found. And you're like, I should probably go validate that for myself, which I encourage you to do. Jet skis aren't bad. Jet skis can be fun. But like 10 hours a day on a jet ski is really aggressive. Here's my concern. My concern is that we can outsource our attention to AI. And then social media will consume our attention, and we never leave the ocean of information. We never enter community in the village. We outsource our work, and we have no capacity to be present with God in green pastures. Pharaoh used to trap Israelites in the village. Enslavement of the ancient Israelites was obvious, but now it's a lot more quiet and subtle. And I'd argue that we're not at risk of enslavement in the village, but in the ocean of information. We subtly drift towards it. It calls us. Take yourself out of the village. Take yourself out of green pastures. So how can we be with the distracted? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The tools, they're different, but the choice to focus is not new. We've got to allocate our full attention to the domains when we're there. Because it is a cycle. From day to day, you're going to be in the green pastures, you're going to be in the village, you're going to be in the ocean of information. But when you are in those places, know why you're there and be there fully. Specifically, weekly Sabbath is incredibly important, and it's a radical act to say that I know 6 days a week, Pharaoh can overwhelm me with information. Pharaoh can overwhelm me with work. Pharaoh can overwhelm me with the responsibilities of raising a family. Darting back and forth. But today, with my family, blood or chosen, we're slowing things down. Because as we drift towards the ocean of information, it asks us to speed up. And Sabbath says, God is good, and we're slowing down. It doesn't just have to be once a week. You can engage with God in daily prayer. And in the village, worship through focused work, service, and fellowship. Physical space has never been more important. As people get pulled away towards the ocean of information, they get isolated. We often scroll alone. Holding physical space for people by breaking bread or studying the word has never been more important. And if somebody's trapped in the ocean of information, it's more likely you're going to be able to welcome them back in the village than to send them straight to green pastures to guide them. In the ocean of information, more scuba diving, less jet ski. Still a little bit jet ski, just less jet ski. Mindful use of the autonomous submersible vehicles. More depth, less darting around, more using AI as a tool. Not to outsource critical thinking or companionship. The default is social media will consume our attention and AI will outsource it. Don't settle for the default. God calls us to so much more. I'd like to close with this quote from David Foster Wallace. There is actually no such thing as atheism. There's no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. Make the choice. In a world that would have your attention fragmented and divided, center your attention. Stake your love, your worship, and your formation on Christ, that which will not be taken from you. Let us pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity to gather here with friends, with family. We're so grateful for your presence. We're grateful for your goodness. Help us be mindful of how we use technology as a tool. Help guide us with technology so that we can bring about human flourishing for others. The technology put before us is supposed to encourage human flourishing, not discourage it. And sometimes we need your help in steering us. God, I pray that the folks in this room could find rest in green pastures, that they could focus and honor you and worship you through the work that they do in the village, with families, at their jobs. And I pray that we can navigate this ocean of information and not be overwhelmed, but in that ocean of information, find your depth, your truth, and your beauty. It's in your name we pray. Amen.